Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness Pujya Swami Chidanand Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India. How do we get rid of FOMO, which stands for fear of missing out? It's so interesting. We keep creating more and more illnesses. By the grace of science and some very smart people, we managed to eradicate most of what killed people 100 years ago. And yet we find ourselves still besieged with illness. May not be that which you get from bad water or a mosquito, but nonetheless, we are certainly not living in more of a state of ease and peace and internal health. Even if our lifespan has increased, our internal health hasn't. And so, voila, FOMO. We now have fear of missing out. It used to be fear of the plague, or fear of, you know, tigers, or warring tribes, or somebody, you know, running off with my house, or my wife, or my, now, phobias of missing out. There was another one a few years ago that I heard about on a plane, actually, in the magazine, where they have these vocabulary tests. I was reading the vocabulary test in the magazine on a plane a few years ago, and the word was nomophobia. And these quizzes, by the way, are real. They're not jokes. They're things to pass the time, but they're real. And I thought, well, all right, I'm a psychology student. I know what phobia means. It's paralyzing fear. But of course, all of the multiple choice options were all paralyzing fear of this or paralyzing fear of that. So it turns out the answer was, and this true new illness that at that point had just entered the official English language dictionaries, was fear of being without a working mobile phone. No mo, as in no mobile phobia. Fear of, I don't have my phone. And in the description that they gave, it said that there were two main ways that that came about. Either my batteries were dying, this was in the days before the battery packs that everybody had, or I just didn't actually have my phone with me. And so now we also have another new illness, fear of missing out. It's a product of a couple of different things. But it's primarily a product of this myth of scarcity. There is a pervasive myth that we are indoctrinated into in our culture of lack. Now, we feel it in ourselves. If I said, raise your hand, if you think that you are smart enough, successful enough, beautiful enough, spiritual enough, achieving enough. Raise your hand if you think you are all of those things. Be honest. Great. 1.5. So this is a pervasive epidemic. Because we feel it in ourselves, our culture and marketing has grabbed onto this psychological aspect of us and has used it to its advantage. And so if I want to sell you something, I'm going to convince you that what I have to sell you is going to make you feel like you are enough. With this handbag or mobile or car or vacation or certification or retreat or whatever it may be, you will feel enough. You will be as beautiful and free and wonderful as the people in my print ad or commercial or billboard seem to be. And because over the last many years, advertising has become something that was not just commercials on TV that we watched maybe an hour a day with our family in the evening, or billboards that we saw once every 500 feet as we drove down a road. But now advertising is, it's constant. I don't even know what the latest statistics are of how many ads most of us see every day. But it's constant. Check your email, ads, go on social media, ads. Whatever you are doing, ads. And of course, it's become amazingly insidious because they know exactly which area you feel not enough in. So should you go on Amazon and purchase exercise equipment, what are you going to see ads for? Being thin, right? Thin is beautiful. Suddenly, all the ads you're going to get are for products and potions and things to make you fit and beautiful and thin because it knows you must have just made a resolution to get in shape. If you are searching for or you purchase some skin lotion, some moisturizing cream. Suddenly, what are you going to get besieged with? Age reversal, you know, always young, whitening, fairness, beautiful, this, that, right? So it's actually become even more insidious because it knows exactly where you don't think you're enough. And it plays exactly to that. Joinmatch.com, every ad you're gonna see is for how you have to be beautiful for your future spouse, how you have to be more successful and richer for your future spouse. So it's turning us not only into very in debt and frustrated consumers, but it's turning us much more neurotic because everywhere we look, that which I already was feeling a little bit on the inside, I can't escape it now. I can't check my email or go on to Facebook or Instagram, or even Google, searching for something else without seeing ads for all of that, which I'm already worried about. And so it's no wonder that we have this fear of not enoughness. I'm going to miss out on something. And that's something I need to be full. And so the only way to combat that is to realize you're already full. You already are whole. It's not about what you achieve. It's not about what you look like. And that doesn't mean you can't buy what you want. But it means that there is nothing you need to be whole. If your skin is dry, buy cream. Who cares? If you want to get in shape, buy exercise equipment. Fantastic. But not because there is something lacking in you. Not because there is some place that you are not whole enough. And that's where our spiritual practice is the key. Because we all feel on some level not good enough. Whether on a very basic, not pretty enough, or on a spiritual, not pure enough, not divine enough. So until we really experience that presence of the divine within us. It's not that I, in my small self, am infinite. It's that the core of who I am is divine. And divine is infinite. And so when I touch that divinity within myself, I touch the infinity within myself. And I touch that which is the last piece of that is the other really important way to combat that fear of missing out is simple clarity. Figure out what are your priorities. Because you're going to constantly be inundated with marketers trying to tell you what your priorities should be. And again, they'll do it even under the guise of spirituality. So if you decide my goal is spirituality, you're going to get ads for this course and that course and this thing. It knows how to get you. And so you need to be really clear about what are my priorities. And if it's spirituality, what exactly am I looking for? Do I need to necessarily do a course to get it? Or do I need to simply carve out half an hour of my day to sit and meditate? Because most of us don't have that much free time. And we've been also really indoctrinated to think that on a spiritual level, we also are not enough. Oh, you want to know your true self? Buy my course. Make sure that you've actually got time to go within, because the true self is you. And yes, the role of a guru is, I would say, essential for the vast, overwhelming majority of us. But that's because the guru directs you in, not out. The guru is sending you into the light of you. The marketers, those where the main agenda is their pockets much more than your awakening, are going to direct you toward them rather than toward you. So it's all about, look at how light I am, rather than find the light in you. Look at how light you are. Look at how whole you are. And so you need to really call back that control. Call back the priorities. What is it that's important to me? And then do those things. And yeah, you're going to miss out on some things. We're missing out being at the casino right now. Right now, there are people playing the slot machines. We are missing out. There are people in parties, getting drunk, doing drugs, doing all sorts of things. We are missing out by sitting right here in satsang. But there's no fear of that, because that's not our priority. There's no sense of, oh God, I wish I were. Because that's not our priority. In the same way, if you're clear about your priorities, there's all sorts of things going on that we're missing out on. But you cannot simultaneously be in satsang in Rishikesh and playing the slot machines in Las Vegas and partying in Paris. You have to choose. And you choose based on what your priority is. And then you're clear. And yeah, your Facebook feed may be full of people saying, ah, slot machines, they're great. Ah, this party, this whiskey, it's great. But if you're clear, it's not going to impact you. It's not going to make you feel like, oh, I'm missing out on that. Because you're going to understand what your priorities are, what you're looking for. And so that fear will dissipate. And it's, by the way, essential that we work with this, because otherwise, not only do we become fearful, dissatisfied, neurotic, but we also find ourselves becoming very much in debt. Because we end up buying things and spending money on things that we would not otherwise do, because someone with some very good algorithm managed to sell us something that fit exactly with what I was struggling with. And so I've bought it. And so with respect for the money in our accounts, with respect for our mental peace, with respect for our strength and clarity to walk the path that we want to walk, we have to be clear. And then that fear will dissipate automatically.
You're listening to OTRFM. Part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me. The dilemma is, I can give you words. And there are words, even though everyone who's ever experienced it basically says it's impossible to put in words. Nonetheless, over the thousands of years, at least, that we have recorded history, that people have been attaining enlightenment, we have some words that have passed down of who you are. And the words are things like soul or atma, spirit, consciousness, divinity, God, love, truth. But the dilemma is, when I speak those words to you, those words enter your ear, and then via a very intricate connection, they get into different parts of your brain. And based on your particular experience, both educational experience, linguistic experience, spiritual experience, you make some sense of what those words mean. And then you think that you've understood something. But you haven't. And this is the dilemma, because the words can go around it describing it, but it can't give you the experience, and you're not actually going to know who you are until you experience it. Now, there's ways to experience it. And as he began, he said, I'm not my finger. I know that. I'm not my brain, I'm not the physical muscle of my heart, I know that. So who am I? Well, there's a beautiful practice called Neti Neti, which is a meditation practice that literally discards layer after layer. So I'm not my sari, I'm not my skin beneath the sari, I'm not the tissues or the blood. I'm not my organs. And we go through piece by piece of the physical body until you get to, I'm not my brain. Well, if I'm not my brain, it means I'm not my thoughts. I'm not my emotions. And again, we know that, should anyone have any doubt, because my emotions keep changing. I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm in pain, I'm frustrated, I'm annoyed, I'm in despair, I'm miserable, I'm ecstatic, I'm confused. But in all of them, I am. And so even though the emotions keep changing, the feelings keep changing, the thoughts keep changing, I is consistent. So it can't be the anger, or the joy, or the despair. So I'm not my emotions, I'm not my thoughts, and we keep going. And ultimately, we hit a place where there's nothing else we can think of that we aren't. And yet, here we are. And in that moment, if you can go into it very, very deeply, and if you can try to keep the mind out of it when you get to that moment where there's nothing else to think of, because otherwise the mind scrambles. Oh, I'm also not my fingernail. Right, right, okay, also not the fingernail. Okay, and it'll keep thinking of something else. Not my skills, right, yes, of course, not my skills. But when you finally get to what you're not, removed them all. If you can allow the mind to be still and quiet in that moment, you'll touch a space. And that really is what it is. It's a space, a place, a state. It's not a word. It's an experience that the Buddhists refer to as nothingness and the Hindus refer to as everythingness. But it's the same space. And the reason that the same space can be both nothing and everything is, the easiest way to think about it is, if you imagine I have a glass jar of air, okay, and it's sealed, my jar. glass jar, all the air is mine. Now my glass jar breaks. I drop it, slips from my hands, it breaks. Now what do I have? What do I have? No more glass jar. Some say nothing. Well, nothing in terms of I don't have the air that, I don't have the glass, but I also now just have air. All the air. Where previously I had had a glass jar of air, then the glass broke, nothing happened to the air is still there, it just merged with all the rest of the air. So you could either look at it as now I have nothing, because the glass, of course, is the metaphor for who I am, for this identity, this sense of self. And most of us move through the world, I am this. Well, when through our spiritual experience, thisness, my identity as thisness, shatters, you could have an experience either of I am nothing, or I'm everything. I had identified as the sari, as the clothes, as the organs, as the blood, as the thoughts, as the feelings. Realize, not any of that, okay? Not that, not that, not that. I'm nothing. Or I'm everything. Either way, neither is wrong or right, just two different ways of experiencing the same truth. It's when the drop merges with the ocean. What is it? Well, on one level, it's finished, over, nothing, no more drop. On the other hand, now it's ocean. Now it's everything. So that experience gives us a taste of what it is. We know what it's not. We know who we are not. But in order to really know who we are, we have to actually have the experience. But it's also important simultaneously to not negate this very beautiful physical experience that we are also having. The way that I love to explain it is a wave on the ocean, okay? Because on the one level, on the highest, deepest, fullest, eternal level, the wave is an illusion of sorts. Meaning, yes, it physically happens, but the wave is actually ocean. So we call it a wave, but really the truth of that wave is ocean. For a very brief moment, an intersection of time and space, a wave happened. But ultimately, it's ocean. So the wave's highest truth, deepest truth, is ocean. In the same way that your highest truth, deepest truth, soul, spirit, consciousness, everything, nothing, God, love, truth. And that wave, even though at its deepest truth it's ocean, if you go out there to swim and you're not a strong swimmer, that wave is absolutely going to impact you. So it's not an illusion on that level. If you think it is, jump in a wave when you don't know how to swim. Grab a surfboard when you don't know how to surf and take it out into a wave. You will very, very quickly realize the non-illusion of that wave. And so it's also very important to realize that there's this other level of existence in which we have a human body and we have a human existence. And we aren't our hearts, but we have a heart. And we aren't our brain, but we have a brain. And our hearts function a little bit differently from each other, and our brains function a little bit differently from each other. And there is that beauty in this human experience that each of us is having differently but together. And so really the highest is to be able to live in both simultaneously. To be aware, I was never born, I will never die. All is perfect. All is God, all is ocean, and simultaneously to feed the poor, simultaneously to take care of the sick. There's a beautiful Islamic teaching that says, have faith in Allah and tie your camel. So we recognize the perfection of the divinity. And in this human body, human life, we tie our camels. We take care of our loved ones. We expand our definition of loved ones to be the entire creation. We serve. Somebody falls down in front of us, we pick them up. We connect with each other as soul to soul and also as very human heart to very human heart. And so really the highest is not so much about transcending the human, but about being able to hold the ultimate awareness of infinite fullness, infinite everythingness, infinite nothingness, at the same time that you make a plan to give blankets to the homeless in the wintertime. At the same time that you make a plan to clean up your local river. At the same time that you make a plan to educate poor children. Or to do whatever is the action from you that is necessary in this particular life. So you are both divine and human. You are everything and nothing. You're all of it.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM radio network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Mike Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati
with inspiration and transformation.
I feel fearful and negative when I meditate for some time and go deeper. What do I do about the negative, fearful thoughts that I have when I go deeper in meditation? So, most of us, when we don't meditate, when we don't introspect, when we don't go deep into the truth of who we are, through satsang, through prayer, through sadhana, when we don't do that, we live in this illusion of who we think we are. And a lot of us paint this very, very rosy picture of ourselves. And this is where a lot of us point to other people as the problem. So, I'm upset, it's because of you. I'm angry, you've made me angry. I'm not peaceful, you've stolen my peace. This is how too many of us live. Constantly blaming the situation outside for the situation inside. And we do that because it works nicely with our egos to keep telling ourselves, oh, I'm great, I'm clear, I'm the good one. It's these people who are the problem creators. These guys are the ones stealing my peace. These guys are the ones creating a problem. Your fault, I'm not happy. But when we meditate and we really go deep and we allow ourselves to get free of the ignorance, free of the nonsense, free of the stories, free of the illusion, then we find ourselves frequently face to face with the mirror of our true self. And that true self reveals itself in different layers. So we know that the highest, the truest, the deepest, the purest truth of who we are is perfection, absolute divine perfection, wholeness, fullness, divinity. But somewhere between this superficial level of ignorance and the very, very deep level of absolute divine perfection, there's another level. And that level is our subconscious and even unconscious self. And that's the part that a lot of us run from and hide from a lot. And those are the places that our unconscious patterns are stored. They're the places that a lot of our sanskaras, the impressions that we have, are stored. It's the place where a lot of that which has happened in our life, especially in our childhood, things that were difficult, things that have created negative patterns in us, things that have told us that we are not good enough, or maybe not even good at all. That's where a lot of these patterns are stored. And so as we start to meditate and we go below the level of just like, yeah, everything's hunky-dory on the surface, we get into that deep level of subconscious, unconscious programming. And a lot of time there's pain there. And this is where a lot of people turn to anything they can to distract themselves, whether it's alcohol or drugs, whether it's just excessive use of social media, whatever it may be. Almost anything will do as long as it serves to properly distract me from not having to really look at those inner patterns. So when you meditate, the reason that a lot of this stuff comes up is there's nowhere to run. No alcohol, no drugs, no Facebook, no distractions. Just you. And so if it comes up, don't worry, sit with it. Because that's still a superficial level. It's deeper than your very superficial level false identity. But it's still much, much more shallow than the deepest, truest level of the perfection of who you are. And so sit with that. See it for what it is, as just a pattern. Just something that came into your subconscious at a certain time of your life, given to you by parents, family members, community members, something in society, whatever it may be. But it isn't the truth of who you are. And so just look at it, acknowledge it, thank it for showing up to the party. But don't allow it to become another layer of falseness in your identity. When you meditate, you just notice these, but you don't hook yourself into them. So, fearful thought has come, negative thought has come. Okay, I just notice it. I just see it. And then I bring the awareness back to my breath. Back to my mantra, back to that space of pure consciousness and awareness. Don't allow yourself to get lost in the story of why you're negative or why you're fearful. It's just another layer of story. Just bring the awareness, bring it back to the perfection of the present moment.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Alec Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation.
700 incredible verses with so much teaching. All right, we'll start anywhere. So one of, I don't think I can say a favorite, one of my favorite verses is a verse that Lord Krishna is speaking about the right type of offering. And I love this verse because it builds also on what we were just speaking about not being enough, not having enough. And some of us even feel like that for God, that we're not enough for God. There's a beautiful verse in which Lord Krishna says, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhaktyupritam ashnami prayatatmanaha. What it means is, whether it's a leaf, flower, piece of fruit, some water, whatever it is that the devotee offers me with love and devotion, I accept it and enjoy it with love. And I love that verse for so many reasons. I'll speak just about a couple of them. The first reason that I love it is it makes it so obvious that it's not about the what, it's about the how. It's not about God saying, do this for me or that for me. It's about God saying, live for me, love me, be devoted to me, whatever you do, do it for me. Whatever it is. There's another verse actually about that. I'll come to that in a moment. But whatever it is that you do, do it for me. Whatever you have, you've got a leaf, great. You've got a flower, great. You've got an apple, great. You have nothing but a drop of water, great. Because what you've got is love. And that's the most important point. It makes it very clear that a gold-covered Mercedes, given without love, is not what God wants. It reminds me of a beautiful story that Pooja Swamiji shares about a young boy who's in temple with his dad, and it's the time where they're all supposed to close their eyes and pray silently. And the boy closes his eyes and he says to God in his mind, he says, God, I don't know any of the prayers. I haven't learned them all yet. He said, the only thing I know by heart is the alphabet. I learned it in school. And he said, but I know that all the prayers come out of this alphabet. And so I'm just going to sing the alphabet for you. And you can make whatever prayer you would like. And so the little boy closes his eyes and he sings A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and he goes through the whole alphabet. And Pooja Swamiji always says, he says, you know, God is so much happier with that little boy, with his love-filled alphabet chanting, than with those who can chant the most perfect Sanskrit mantras, but chant it with no feeling, no love in their hearts. And so this mantra makes it so clear. Even if all you've got is a drop of water, offer it with love. And it's not that Lord Krishna says it'll do until you get that Mercedes. He didn't say, I accept it temporarily until something better comes along. You know, the offering of the recession. He didn't say that. He accepts it with love, enjoys it with love. It means that's what God wants. And I love that verse for another reason as well. If out of all the things in the world that Krishna could have spoken about, I mean, here they are standing in a battlefield, right? When most of us speak, if we have to give examples, metaphors, we're going to use things around us. We're going to use
something that I just saw or something I just heard. It's how the brain works. Jhosamne, that's what is in the mind. So Lord Krishna is standing in the middle of a chariot, in the middle of a battlefield. He could have said, whatever the devotee offers me, be it an arrow, be it a wheel, right? There were lots of arrows, lots of wheels. Be it the rein of a horse. I mean, if all he was looking to do was to choose kind of low quality, inexpensive, you know, not very special items, he could have said, the rein of a horse, a single broken arrow, a muddy wheel. I mean, he could have said anything. But he chose things that are what? They're natural. They come to us from Mother Earth. There were no leaves right in front of his eyes. There was no fruit in that chariot with Arjun. Not that I know of, anyway. I don't think Arjun was having fruit snacks in the middle of the battle. But he gave these examples. Four things he gave, all of which come to us of Mother Nature. To teach us, to remind us, nature is sacred. Offer me nature. And remember, it's sacred. Because, of course, if you offer something to God, whatever it is, it becomes sacred, it's holy. Our leaves are holy. Our flowers are holy. Our fruit is holy. Our water is holy. It's sacred. And that's the other reason I love the verse. Because four out of four things, we're all from Mother Nature, which means that which is dearest to God, right after our devotion, right after our love, is what? Mother Nature. So while we protect our love and protect our devotion, do whatever we can to increase it, we remember to protect and to preserve and to care for Mother Nature. If not because we care about the earth itself, if not because we care about future generations, well, maybe because it's what Lord Krishna has mentioned as offerings to him.
This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week, and I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time, on Om Times Radio.